How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome to Postcast. This place is still rocking. At least I am. I'm still cheering, jumping up and down, going nuts, having a blast. Ron's got to go to TV, so I got to stop cheering. Woo! 105-98, Jazz winning. Holy smokes. Down 87-80. I mean, we were dead. It was over again. How many times can we die in a year?
Let's try it again. Let's go play another game. We were here. Why not win it? You know, you had to come to the arena. You had to come here with all the folks cheering very loud in here. So we might as well have won the ball game. It was just, you know, I mentioned this before the ball game. I don't know if the Clippers got a little tired in the fourth quarter. I think the Jazz just got on a roll there, to the point where they couldn't put it out. But Joe Johnson was the real deal. 28 points, one shy of a season high of 29. But look at that field goal percentage, Davis. It took 35 minutes, 17 shots. He was 12 for 17. He got where he wanted to go on the floor, and I think that is the key right there. Now, we made some comments about how late in the ball game the Jazz in the game the other night, how they took it, they created a mismatch, and then everyone was trying to do it. Then you and I talked before the ball game that we thought that if anyone on the team should do it, and probably the only one on the team right now that I think should do it consistently would have been Joe Johnson. And that's exactly what happened. He got to the point where he created a mismatch, and he took advantage of it and scored at will, wherever he wanted on the floor.
Well, let me do a little math here for a second. Outside of the paint tonight, he was 2 of 6. So he was 10 of 11 in the paint. Which means for the series, Joe Johnson is 22 of 29 in the paint. At what point do the Clippers need to make a change to their game plan, which they don't want to make? And here's the other part about it. ISO Joe is what they've called him, almost derogatorily in his career. And the one thing that ISO Joe neglects to mention is the passing. In the final 7 minutes of this game, and that's when the Jazz trailed 87-80 with 7:37 left, Joe Johnson scored 13 points, but he assisted on 9 others. And those 22 points in that time period, the Clippers scored 11. So the deadly thing about him is that as much as he is known for ISO Joe and as this one isolation player who's backing you in this slow, methodical fashion, he's a willing passer. And as a willing passer, it makes Doc Rivers terrified to come with a double team, which at times he did, and frankly, he scored over.
Yeah, he really did, and he took his time. There was times when the double team did come, and he was able to give it up, you know, for a bucket, big one there by Joe Ingles in the corner, or he would give it up and then get it back. And he kept the basketball in his hands. Now, he ended up with 5 assists. Now, ISO Joe, as much as you want, his career high in assists is 17. So he can and will and is a willing passer, but, boy, I just love him when he gets in the paint.
The roller coaster of this series is just it's exhausting. It's hard to fathom if you go through it. 14 seconds in, Gobert goes out, and yet Joe Johnson gets you the win in game one. Game two is turning out to be the boring night of it all. The Clippers dominated. They played a great game. Their big three were fabulous. They did Clipper things. The series was tied 1-1. We got here. The Jazz got 40 points from Gordon Hayward in one of the great all-time Jazz performances, only to be outdone by 9-time All-Star Chris Paul down the stretch. And we left the arena, if we're honest, thinking it was over. Like last, when I left this arena Friday night, I ate a pint of fish food ice cream when I got home because life sucked. And then you woke up at 8, whatever. I went to bed at like 3. So I woke up at 8:30 to the news that Blake Griffin was out. And you thought to yourself, well, maybe. And then, but you didn't really think that they still didn't. And then all of a sudden, you get to shoot around today and Rudy Gobert is upgraded to questionable. And then the moment to me was when Rudy Gobert walked out to warm up tonight. I was like, wait a sec, if he's warming up, he's going to play. He dominates, only though the word gets out that Gordon Hayward's been dealing with food poisoning all day, and then he can't play. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
So where does the storyline? I mean, where does all this start?
I think it's the adversity of these two. The Clippers have been cursed for a decade. We've been cursed for 2 years. And these two franchises with incredible fight and will, both of them deserve huge respect, just battling now to an even series on two teams that have now won the same amount of home games, road games, and schemes all year long in just a remarkable, remarkable series.
But you were rejuvenated at practice this morning. After all of that you went through when you went home, eating the ice cream that late at night.
No ice cream tonight. I might work out.
Okay.
I got to make up for the ice cream.
You were rejuvenated at practice this morning. You had to be. I mean, just because of listening to what they wanted to do, the changes that they wanted to make as far as trying to defend Chris Paul. I mean, I was watching that, and I'm thinking this is going to work. You know, especially if they were going to try to take the ball out of his hands. But for some reason, they didn't make that other guy beat him. You know what I mean? Crawford had a good night. He definitely had a good night.
I mean, all right, so if I go full Jazz Homer here for a second, the Clippers got their Jamal Crawford night tonight. Chris Paul had 27. The Jazz showed that without Blake Griffin, they can come up with a defensive game plan that slows down DeAndre Jordan. And this thing now, to me, is completely Jazz one side, Jazz edge. Mm-hmm. Now, the other side is the Clippers have two of the next three at home, and they still have Chris Paul.
Yeah, that's true. But I think this is an evenly matched ball game. The season series was, 3-1 in favor of the Clippers. But I just think that now this is an evenly matched team. And we could – the Jazz, I see, could stop saying we. The Jazz.
No, it's we at this point. When you're eating a pint of ice cream, it's a we.
The Jazz could. They'll have to win two of the next three. And two of them.
You got to win one of them there.
If they get one on the road and come home, bad. But so this is not only just a big ball game for us, this is huge for the Clippers.
The Clippers are looking at another fourth straight years of a playoff curse. The biggest story maybe of the series right now is the Jazz have figured out how to score on the Clippers.
Yeah. Well, and Joe Ingles pointed that out. He says, we don't have a problem scoring. It's just stopping this team. And Chris Paul, if they have to find a way, I love to see them find a way just to take the ball out of his hands, make someone else run the point. You know, double team. Play a zone, David. You know, who cares? You know, just find a way of taking it out of his hands. And because he's just so smart, so dominant, and he just gets the job done.
I thought they really missed the rim runs by Blake Griffin and those just possessions early where Blake Griffin just took a possession. Every possession tonight, this was an incredibly slow-paced game. I thought every possession tonight for the Clippers, they got great looks, they executed some, but I thought every possession was a task. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like they got a lot of easy possessions where Blake rim runs and they've scored two so easily. That's the one thing, but that's the big thing I thought they really missed tonight without Blake Griffin.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I know you and I covered this before the ball game. Blake's 20 points a ball game, 6 rebounds, turning into a threat, I think, from the three-point line. His post-up ability. They missed his with him being a threat. I mean, now space is not going to go for 30. He's not going to get you 10 or 15 rebounds. So that part of it, you know, they had to be struggle with because they don't have him. Right.
25-11 run to close it. Joe Johnson directly contributed to 22 of the 25. And the Jazz win it tonight over the Clippers. We're tied the series at 2 as we move to Los Angeles for game number 5. The kids get to stay up late on Tuesday night. They're going to be sleepy when they go to school on Wednesday, and you're going to be sleepy when you go to work because it's an 8:30 tip, which really means 8:40, which really means with these really long timeouts that we're playing into Wednesday, but we don't care because the Jazz won. This is Postcast on Locked On Jazz on the Locked On Podcast Network.